From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Some time ago, I was golfing with a golf pro friend of mine. So he just goes like 300 yards down the center of the fairway. So I get up there and I pound the ball. Bang! People on the second fairway are ducking. See what happens sometimes? We beat the ball, we nail it, and we get mad because it's going nowhere. And what do? We get mad at the club. And we say, this stupid club. And we do that to God, don't we?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we began a message entitled The Schoolmaster and Guardian, where we learned that God put laws into place for our own good, not just to spoil all our fun. Well, today we're going to flip the coin and see the other side of the law, and that is God's grace. Here now is Pastor Wayne with the message, The Schoolmaster and Guardian.
God gives us his laws because he created us. He knows how we function the best. He knows how we operate the best, how we operate in our marriage, how we navigate relationships. He knows the best way, so he puts instructions. And if we follow them, things work out better. We violate them, we have the consequences. So I said, you know why God put these instructions into motion so that we can read it and learn thereby? You know why? Because he loves us so much. And he wants us to do well. God didn't put laws into motion because he doesn't like us. No, because he loves us so much. He says, here's how you do it. It's really cool. And if you do it my way, things really work out wonderful. Because at the end of this pathway, I'm going to give you my blessing and my reward. And so God does that in such a way that we follow. Now, you cut yourself off from God, I said to the college student, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Oh, he said, well, wait a minute. He says, I don't believe in God. I don't do stuff his way. Look at me. Look at me. I'm still alive. I'm fine. I said, well, you're a cut flower. He said, what? I said, you're a cut flower. Like, if I take a blossom and I cut it from the stem, it still has residual life in it. It still smells like a flower. It looks like a flower. It's beautiful, but it's dead. Oh, it has some residual delayed life in it, but basically, once you cut it from its source, it has no ongoing, it's basically dead. And I said, and here's what the enemy would love to do, is to get you to believe that once you cut off, you're still alive, aren't you? Yeah, you're fine. Look at that. And if you can believe that you're fine, then he allows you to be cut off and you're lost. It's a lie. Because once you cut yourself off from the life source, death has begun. And so you say, well, Wayne, how do we get to know God's design? Would you turn your notes over and would you write in the back, number one, take the time, and you got to take the time to know God and his laws. Take the time to know God and his laws. Because if you don't understand the ways of God, and I'm not talking about the Mosaic law, I'm talking about the ways of God, how to treat one another, how he speaks about our soul, our conscience, our relationships. Get to know God's ways. Because if you don't know the ways of God and the design of God for a man or a woman or for relationships or his way of treating one another, treating God, and treating ourselves, if we don't understand God's ways, we'll be violating God's ways and not even know it. And then we'll rationalize it when our conscience bothers us. And we'll circumvent God. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did. They would violate God's law in spirit, and then they would rationalize and spiritualize it, and thus sanitize it, and thought everything was fine. And you know what God said to them? Let's take a look at Matthew 22, verse 29, and read it out loud. Go. Jesus replied, your problem is that you do not know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. You don't know the scriptures, he said. Can I encourage you, and I know I beat this drum all the time, but can I encourage you to be disciplined in your daily devotions? Take the time. We have a reading program out. You can go. There's an app for it. But every day, like this morning, I was reading in 1 Kings and Chronicles, Psalm 78, and reading through the scriptures. We can partner together in doing that. And day by day, God will reveal the wisdom of his ways to you so that you'll be convinced of it. But not only will you know God's word, would you write down in number two, here is how you graduate to the next step in your faith, not just know God's word, but learn to love and obey God's word or God's law. See, the Pharisees knew this is right, that's wrong. Why? So I can tell you what's right and you what's wrong, and sort of get myself elevated a little bit above you because you don't, but I know. And a lot of times we know right from wrong, but we don't heed. You know why? Because we know God's word, but we have yet to love God's word. See, if you just know God's word, it's a Christian duty. You got to do this thing. But if you love God's word, God, show me more. And God begins to reveal stuff to people who love his word, not just know it. Let's read what Psalm 119 says. Would you read it with me in your notes? Go. Those who, stop right there. Those who what?
Love.
Say it again. Those who,
love.
Your laws continue, have great peace and nothing will cause them to stumble. God is saying, love my laws. That's why Proverbs 7 says, I have treasured your commandments. Your commandments is a treasure to me. I want to know what you have to say. I want to know. Psalm 119 says, thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Psalm 37 says, I take delight, or he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What? Delight yourself in the Lord. What? Delight. That God's word is my delight. To do his will is my delight. And I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to read the Bible. I get to read the Bible. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. It's a privilege. The whole book of Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Here it is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates both day and night. Result? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that yields its fruit in due season, whose leaves will never fade. And whatever he does, he prospers. Watch this. You see, what God is saying is at the end of the pathway of my law, when you obey and love my ways, it leads to blessings and your inheritance. I designed it that way. But you have to not only walk my way, you've got to love my way. And it opens up, it enacts my promises and your inheritance. See, sometimes we say, well, I don't like your way. I want my own way. And by the way, God, you know your promise? Could you just scoot it over here? God says, oh, no, I'm not changing my laws. You have to change your response to my laws. Well, I think there's a lot of ways you can do this, and I think my way is just as good. No. I have one way. And you get to obey that. And at the end of that, if you'll love my way, not fight, not excuse, not rationalize, but love my law, at the end, it's a promise. But you've got to do it my way. If you want God's blessings, you've got to do it God's way. He won't bend his laws. It's sort of like this. Let's say I call up my son Aaron. I say, hey, Aaron, meet me for dinner at 6 o'clock on this certain restaurant on Kapiolani Street. Now, you have to really listen now to my instructions because there's a parade going down Ala Moana. So you got to come down King Street or Baratania, down McCully, turn on Kapiolani, and I'll meet you at the restaurant. Now, it's 6 o'clock sharp because 7 o'clock I've got to be at another appointment. But I've got something for you, but you got my instructions now? And what time? Got it? Okay. Follow it carefully now. Great. Sure, Dad. Click. His friends call him up about 3 hours later. Hey, Aaron, there's a south swell coming up, man. Oh, Aaron says, yeah, and I got a new board. Woo! All right, dude, let's go. All right, so they surf, and after they're done, they get a bite to eat with their buddies. And then he forgot about the parade, so he gets caught. Well, 7:30, he's at the restaurant. And he calls me, Dad, where are you? I'm at the restaurant. Oh, son, it's 7:30 already. I'm gone. Well, you said you were going to meet me here at 6, not 7:30. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you had something for me, you said. I did. It was a check for $10,000. Okay, well, dude, give it to me. No, you had to have followed the instructions, and then you'd get... What? You don't love me anymore? No, you still have my love. You don't have my check. What? Yeah, you will always have my love. But you may not always have my blessings. Because blessings come at the end of the path of obedience, one that you love, not that you bear, not one that you endure, one that you love. And then my blessings come. Now, on the other hand, if he would have said, hey, Dad, I'm here at 7:30. Please forgive me. I was wrong. I messed up. I did exactly what you asked me not to do. Dad, would you give me another chance? Oh, yeah. All right. Tomorrow at 6, but remember my instructions. Thanks. Thanks for your grace. You understand? The response to it will enact grace. A lack of response. Well, it was a parade and my friends and, you know, I tried and done. God has grace, but our response to his law is going to determine whether you get it or not. So God has a certain design, and that design doesn't change. That's his law, it's his ways. And you want to do your best. Now, if you fail, there's grace if your heart is repentant. If your heart is proud and arrogant, there's only consequences. You understand? So why is God's law there? To test our hearts. Did you get that? Because he will trump his law any day with his grace, but his law doesn't change because his law isn't there to trip you up. It's to test your heart, whether you're willing to repent. Let me give you another example. Some time ago, I was golfing with a golf pro friend of mine. And this is a guy that, you know, they just swing easy and boom, the thing takes off 300 yards. Well, I'm a bad golfer, so already I'm nervous on the first tee. So he just goes like 300 yards down the center of the fairway. So I get up there and I pound the ball. Bang! Just in front of the women's tee, it stopped. And so I go there and I nail it again. I pound it. Now I'm maiming trees. I'm delimbing other trees. And people on the second fairway are ducking. So he finally stops me and he says, Wayne, let me give you a 911 lesson. I said, what's that? He said, first of all, look at how the golf club is designed. This is a golf club. It is not an axe. It is not a hammer. It's a golf club. Look how it fits in my hand, he says. And now look at the angle of the shaft when it sits perfectly level on the ground. You see that? I said, yeah. He says, that's how you want to stand and hold it. You don't hold it like this. You hold it like this because that's how it's designed. Now look at the metal face. See how flat that is and how hard it is? Ding, 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 ding. And when it comes in contact with that ball, if it does the way it's designed to, that ball's trajectory goes crazy fast out there. And if you work it and you cooperate with the way the club is designed, the ball will respond accordingly. So here's your assignment, Wayne. Take this week, study the way the club is designed. He said, like this, it's real easy. He went, bang, that thing took off. I go, whoa, you nailed it. He says, that's your problem. This is not a hammer. I didn't nail it. You nailed it. See what happens sometimes? We beat the ball, we nail it, and we get mad because it's going nowhere. And what do? We get mad at the club. And we say, this stupid club. And we do that to God, don't we? We don't know how He's designed us and how we're supposed to work. And things, we try it our own way and it doesn't work, and we throw God away. This is stupid. I don't know. I don't want this God stuff. So dumb. Really? Take time to know God and His design and love His way, because it's going to test your heart as to whether or not you'll walk in His ways. It's a matter of the heart, not God's laws, not God's rules. It's a matter of our heart. So, Wayne, what if we mess up? Then would you write down a number three? Then know the power of repentance. Repentance. Know and learn the power of repentance. This is the greatest weapon against the enemy. And it's repentance that, bang, enacts God's grace. Forgiveness, bang, His forgiveness and mercy starts coming in. His healing comes in. But if I say, well, it's a parade. Well, it's somebody else. Well, it's her. Well, it's him. God's grace is never enacted. Now, God promises that He will give grace if we ask for forgiveness and repent. But if we don't, you get sin's consequences. You're punished by your sin, not for your sin, by your sin. But if you ask for forgiveness, He trumps the consequences of sin. He trumps that and gives grace, and forgiveness and healing begins. I was talking to a husband, and I said, and he was saying, my wife is messing up. I said, repent. It's powerful. No. I didn't mess up. My wife messed up. I said, yeah, repent. He said, no. I didn't mess up. My wife needs help, not me. I said, yeah, repent. He said, what are you talking about? She's going after that guy. I said, well, it's your fault. He said, what are you talking about? Now, I'm about to say something to you husbands. You may get mad at me. Give me some grace, but I'm going to say it anyway. So listen carefully. I said, it's your fault. No, she's going after another guy. I said, it's your fault. Why? If you would have loved her like Jesus loves the church, she wouldn't have any need to go after anybody else. Well, she's over there listening to him rather than me. If you would have spoken to her in a way that Jesus speaks to his bride, she would listen to you all day long. But for some reason, he is speaking, not correctly, but falsely, but giving her some ostensible person who is kind, and she's being duped by it because she's so hungry for anybody to listen to her. You repent. He says, but Wayne, it's not my fault. I said, well, wait a minute. In the end, you know who God calls the head of the home? You know who God holds responsible for the condition of your home? Not the dog, not the cat, not your kids, not even your wife. You know who's called the head of the home? Brother, you are. You're the head of the home. So you start things in motion. But I didn't mess up. I said, wait a minute. When Israel messed up, guess who it was that always repented? Not Israel, Moses and Aaron. You read the Old Testament, watch how many times their nose is in the dirt repenting. They didn't sin, but because they repented, God enacts grace and healing starts. Wholeness starts. Because the people repent? No, somebody needs to die. Someone needs to take the rap, as it were. And it's always going to be, if any, the head. And I said, brother, you're the head of the home. He said, but I didn't mess up. Jesus laid down his life for you and me. Did he sin? No, we did. But he repented, as it were. He took the blame. He took the sin, our sins, on his shoulders. And it didn't matter who repented. He repented, and guess what happened? We got redemption. We are redeemed. Because we asked for? No, someone did. And I said, brother, if you want grace and healing to begin in your family, regardless of whose fault it is, because you can play Sherlock till the cows come home, and it ain't going to help anything. But if you understand God's ways, and you as the head of the home begin to repent, say, God, something that I've done can change. And Lord, forgive me. God says, you know, I'm going to work on your whole family. Lord, would you give me the wisdom necessary to get things right? Because you ask for wisdom, as he said to Solomon this morning in our reading, and you didn't ask for riches or opulence or cool things, but you asked for wisdom and grace, I'll give you everything else too. So I said to that husband, learn to repent. When anything goes wrong, you start it. And what it does is it starts the healing process in your family. Who ignited it? Your humility, regardless of who was wrong. Jesus did that, didn't he? So the way to love your wife like Christ loves us is when something goes awry, you lay down your life and at least healing starts. That's what we want. Play Sherlock later, but not right now. And I said, oh, I got it. And that's a word to all of us men as well. And so learn the power of repentance, because that enacts God's grace that trumps the violating of the law. But you need the law there because it tests our hearts as to whether or not we'll love God's way. If we don't, then it's not a matter of the law, it's a matter of our heart. Let me finish with this illustration that kind of ties it all together. There's a story of a benevolent king who had a sister that he hadn't seen for 2 or 3 years. She was just estranged for one reason or another. But one day, a woman was thrown into his court, and his officer said, this woman was caught for multiple times of bribing your officials. Well, you see, there's a very stringent law in this kingdom that you don't bribe an official to get out of something, because that corrupts the whole law and the whole system. So a very stringent law that if you're caught doing that, you'll have X amount of lashes. This lady was caught bribing your officer several times, your majesty. He said, with tears, we know the law, and I can't change that. But when the lady looked up, he realized that it was his estranged sister. He said, no. And the officer said, your majesty, what do we do? He said, we know the law. So she was strung up there, and just before that one brought the lash back, to bring it down on her back, the king said, stop, cut her loose. Officers, bewildered, said, your majesty, you know the law, cut her loose. Your majesty, you're breaking your own kingdom's laws, cut her loose. So they cut her loose, and he took off his regal crown and his velvet mantle. He unbuttoned his silken shirt and he said, the law must be paid because that cannot be bent. But it doesn't say who was to pay that penalty. And he said, string me up and I will receive the lashes. See, that's what Jesus did for us when we sinned. The law had to be paid, so he was the sacrifice. You understand? Listen very carefully. God cannot bend his laws because it will annihilate mankind. God cannot bend his laws, so he bent his back and his posture, and he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People, God will not and cannot bend his laws, but he will bend and humble his posture to take the brunt of our sins if we ask for grace and give us his mercy. And the more you learn about God's design and the importance of it, then you understand the condition of man's heart, and you don't throw the club. You don't change laws. You throw your heart before God and you change your ways, and everything is transformed. God's grace is enacted. God's healing is ignited. And that's the power of repentance. And the more you get to know that, the more you begin to see how beautiful God's grace really is. Amen.
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 You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Schoolmaster and Guardian by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.